As modern, enlightened people, we sometimes have a hard time knowing what to do with a good old-fashioned exorcism. And it's because we're not really always sure what to think about this whole idea of demons, right? It can kind of seem like hocus-pocus to us knowledgeable modern folks. Like something superstitious from a bygone era when people didn't know as much as we know now about things like medicine and science. Sometimes to talk about demons can just feel hokey and backward. We may want to write it off as a medical condition that was just poorly understood at the time, and there may be some validity to that argument. But I've also known people, and I bet maybe some of you have too, who seem to be battling more than just illness. I'm not talking about snarling monsters lying in wait in dark corners or ephemeral spirits floating around waiting to take control over those they stumble upon. But I do think that there are forces at work in the world that oppose God. And what is a demon if not something that opposes God? So can't we just use that language? Can't we just say that demons are at work? Because sometimes it really does seem that people have demons that they're barely holding at bay. And I'm not sure that it matters very much if we call these things unclean spirits or addiction. I don't know that it always matters if we say that this thing is Alzheimer's or we say that it's an unholy possession. Because as helpful and as important as a medical diagnosis is in a clinical setting, I think it's also just as appropriate in religious contexts to name sources of torment as demons. Because to speak about demon possession communicates to those of us who are not living it, who are not personally living these hells, it tells us a little bit about what the experience is like. It is to be tormented. It is to be held captive. It is to be controlled by forces that work against God's vision of love and wholeness for us. And truth be told, sometimes all the medical knowledge in the world can't fix it. So if what we mean when we say demons is the forces at work that oppose God's vision of wholeness for all creation, well then, as far as I can tell, demons are alive and well in the world today. Some of us see these demons in the lives of people we care about, and some of us know that they exist in our own lives. We don't usually think of it, of course, in terms of being possessed by a demon. But have you ever been possessed with an anger that leads you to say things that you wish you hadn't? Have you ever been possessed by greed or jealousy so that you end up acting in ways that do not build up the body of Christ? I have. So what is it at work in me, perhaps in you, that makes us turn away from what we know God would have us do, what we ought to do, and instead do things that we know are not good for us or for the world that God made? St. Paul talks about exactly this in the 7th chapter of Romans. He says, "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate." And then he goes on, "So now if I don't do what I want, it's no longer I that is doing it, but the sin that dwells within me." Sin, if we want to call it that, demons, if we want to call it that, however we name it, one thing is clear: Jesus is at work to cast it out. That's what it looks like for Jesus to be ushering in the kingdom of God. Jesus taking whatever it is that would separate us from God and getting rid of it, bridging the divide, casting it out. And it starts in the gospel lesson we read today. Here in Mark's gospel, this is the very first public act of Jesus. The first thing he does is show up in the synagogue, and people are shocked by the authority with which he speaks. But he doesn't just talk the talk, right? He walks the walk too. Because when the man with the unclean spirit shows up in the synagogue, the unclean spirit seems to know exactly who Jesus is. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Maybe it's one of those keep tabs on your enemies kinds of things, but it's the unclean spirit who first recognizes Jesus. But if what we're looking for here between Jesus and the demon is some kind of epic battle, a cosmic showdown between good and evil that pits equally matched forces of light and darkness in an eternal struggle, well, that doesn't happen, right? Because it's not even a contest. Jesus commands the spirit to be silent and immediately causes it to come out of the man, and just like that, it's over, right? Jesus doesn't just speak with authority, he acts with authority too. And the forces that oppose God, they don't stand a chance. Because Jesus doesn't just leave it here with this one demon, right? His whole ministry is about ushering in God's kingdom, specifically by casting out forces that work against God. So Jesus goes throughout the countryside, healing infirmities, casting out demons, even rebuking death by restoring a little girl to life. Over and over and over, Jesus faces down the forces that oppose God, and over again, he gets rid of them. Until finally, he takes on the ultimate enemy. He goes willingly to the cross, and by dying and rising, he breaks the stranglehold of sin and death so that even they will not rob us of the abundant life that God has in store for us. There are plenty of demons out there, plenty of sin in me, plenty of forces in the world that work to separate us from the kingdom of wholeness that God intends. To name a few, sickness, abuse of power, certainly violence. I was reminded of that again this week as we watched the news about yet another school shooting unfold. All of these are forces that defy God. But also we could add to the list addiction, unemployment, lack of access to education and medical care, sexual harassment. The list could go on. There are plenty of things in this world that work against God's will. But the good news is that none of it can stand in God's kingdom, because God will not allow it. Jesus utters a word and it is over. In the meantime, though, as we wait for the fullness of that kingdom, we, the church, are called to be the body of Christ in the world. Meaning, we are called to do as Jesus does, to work to dismantle anything that opposes the wholeness, wellness, and abundant life of God's kingdom. We may not always be on the same page about how we go about that work, but we have to be on the same page that this is the work of the church. Because from the very first public act of his ministry, this is what Jesus is about in Mark's gospel, dealing with the demons that leave people in awful shape. And this is what we are called to be about too. The folks in the synagogue are impressed, right, that Jesus not only teaches with authority, but acts with authority too. His words are impressive and important, yes, but they are astounded that Jesus is about more than just words. So too, we are called to walk the walk, risking our comfort, our standing, under certain circumstances, even our very lives, for the sake of casting out demons in the world. Or, as Jesus puts it, take up your cross and follow. Amen.